There is no place I'd rather be than in His presence. Thank you for joining us today for our weekly devotional thought. And now our host, Essie Johnson.
Welcome to In His Presence, and thank you so much for being with us on today. Today, our scripture passage comes from the book of Titus, chapter 1 and verse 6. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. We're looking at a question here today. What does it take to be a leader? It takes everything to be a strong biblical leader. We are surrounded by people who function in a leadership capacity. Some may inspire us, encourage us, and some are struggling and growing into their responsibilities. And yet there are others who are still learning what leadership is and will hopefully come to appreciate the calling and the mission. But taking on the responsibility associated with a leadership task, that's no small job. In our passage today, Paul entrusts Titus and he gives him the responsibility of appointing leaders in the ministry. But as any good leader, you know that the title carries some responsibility and some direction. Too often, individuals will give a responsibility with insufficient directions and then be upset when the task is not carried out as they had conceived in their mind and as they desired. Paul knew that in order for the church to grow and prosper, good leadership was essential. We all know and appreciate the wonderful gifts God has given us in the church. Yet, I find it significant that the discussion frequently does not center around fitness. Discussion centers around powerful preaching and teaching, moving, singing, and all these are very important. But the qualifications laid out in Scripture, they're a little bit different, and they should be our priority. God will give a leader what he or she needs to lead. But if the person in place is the wrong person to start with, no amount of talent will fix the situation. An elder, the passage states, must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. If a person chooses to be married, be faithful to the marriage. Paul and Jesus, for that matter, were not married. So there is no prohibition on single men and women serving in the ministry. But if they are married, individuals must live a life in a manner that honors the gospel and does not disrespect or shame the house of God. We all have to know ourselves. Don't be drawn into situations where temptation might overcome. I strongly urge all persons in full-time ministry to take a counseling course to help prepare them for counseling situations. Sometimes good intentions can be exploited by the enemy, and good people find themselves in compromised situations. Never take the position that you or I for that matter, that we are above temptation. Use good judgment. Use wisdom as you serve the people of God. Ministry is about sacrifice, and many good people have misunderstood and from a good heart ignored their own family to their peril. Their heart was to do ministry. That's a good thing. But the first mission field has to be the family. Be sure to give time, energy, and love to the family. Teach them, but also show them the love of God. I have certainly heard stories where families felt in competition with the ministry. There will be times when a person will not be present at a church function because they need to attend a school play or a parent-teacher night. I've heard the words of a young adult telling the church they needed their father too and asking them not to call the family home as much. I've heard stories of the anger some young people hold against their parents, the church, and God because they felt cheated out of a parent. The parent seemed to love the church more than them from their perspective. I'm not saying that their perspective was accurate or right, but I will say your personal mission field should be tended to as diligently as any other mission effort. Since an overseer manages God's household, this overseer has to be blameless. Not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not given to violence, not pursuing dishonest gain. Paul sets a high standard, and one against which every leader must measure themselves. Blameless. People lie, and the enemy will always try to spread lies. But don't let a truthful allegation be made. Live in such a way that people will not be quick to believe it. Our character, our name means something and it should be guarded. Not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Sometimes we confuse peace-loving with impotence. We think that if a person chooses the high road, they must be weak. Not the case. The people of God certainly love peace and seek peace, but they will stand up when they need to do so. There may come a time when someone feels compelled to take an action they don't want to take. They may be a soldier fighting for their country, or in a case that I am aware, a minister felt the need to physically persuade a son-in-law who didn't fully understand what it meant to not lift his hand to the minister's daughter. The father felt he had to protect his daughter. I respect those who disagree with him and with me. But as a woman, I thank God that she had a father who would not allow her to be abused without some further discussion. Money is necessary, but money is only a means to an end. It is not an end in itself. We use money. It should not use us, and it should not be our central focus. We love God. We love family, we love people, not things, not money. We use things, not people. Money and objects cannot be the greatest value in our lives. We have to keep everything in balance. Rather, the passage says, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose. We have to hold tight, saints. We have to hold tight to the words of the gospel. We must preach the truth in season and out. We must be God's holy messengers, encouraging others, standing firm in the way of the Master. The people of God must pray for leadership in the church and for people in authority who surround us in government and in our professional lives. Our lives are our primary witness. Christian words mean little when they are not supported by Christian behavior. Pray for the leaders of your country. They badly need your prayers at this time and all the time. And this is especially true for those who don't even know they need your prayers. We must pray. We can help make or break the leadership in our churches and in our country. Let's pray. Lord God, we lift up those in authority, every pastor, every minister, every mayor, every council person. We lift up former President Trump and ask God's power to overtake him, draw him close, that he may yield his heart and life to God's direction and purpose at this time. Let him hear you and align every aspect of his life with your will. We lift up President Biden, his family, and all those in the cabinet. Cover them with your grace. Grant them wisdom and an ear to hear your words. Let everyone take counsel with you and follow your direction and your purpose. We ask that you guide. We ask that you direct every word in action. Let your people support leaders, Lord, by lifting them up to you and working to achieve the goals and purpose you have designated. We do not follow the agenda of men. We follow the agenda of God. Lord, you are our God, and we ask that you reign over this country and every country. We ask that you protect and cover your people wherever they are found. We ask, O God, that you surround them with love, grace, and mercy. And Lord, every place under the sun where they are under attack, Lord God, we ask that you send angels, Lord. Let them be encamped around about the homes and lives of your people. Oh God, touch them. Keep them. Lord God, where they are being unfairly persecuted and mistreated, oh God. Lord God, we ask that you would send your word. Lord God, that you would send your angels, and God, that you would protect them, Lord, even as they are being beat down, as the devil beats them down, Lord. We're asking that you send your angels in, Lord God, that the enemy may be beat down, where he is seeking to destroy and tear down your churches. Lord God, let new ones rise up. Lord God, where he has taken leadership and put them in prison. Lord, let your word spread like wildfire. Oh God, that the enemy may understand that it's not about this person or that person. It is about the power of God. It is about the word of God. It is about you. God is all about you. We thank you. We bless you. We praise your name right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Have a blessed and beautiful week, and join us again next time in His Presence.
You have been listening to In His Presence, your weekly devotional program sponsored by None Like Him Anywhere.